Join us as career changers, company leaders, industry experts, and others who have been in your shoes share their stories, insights, and lessons learned to help you find enjoyment through employment in the tech world. I'm Nemo Ashong, and this is the Empjoyment Podcast. Hey, Empjoyees, it's a beautiful day, and I think it's because we get the chance to connect today. Let me be real with you. I am just very, very pumped for you to be able to listen to this episode with Marin Eng, who's a customer education manager over at Optimizely. The reason I'm so excited for today's episode is because Marin really is able to bring that experience of teaching, of learning, of helping people grow. And she brings that all into today's conversation. Just pay attention to how she's able to construct the stories and lead you to a place of success. And then, as she says herself, go out and apply it. Employees, you're going to hear how Marin reached out to CEOs and different people to get into her position in tech just by going on their social media and building relationships. You'll hear how she approaches online learning and what her tips and tricks are and the strategies and things she looks out for when she's doing online learning, both when she's creating it and also when she's growing herself through the process of learning. And I think one of the coolest parts about all this here is how Marin has intertwined what she does at work with her life overall. She's big on travel, and I think that you'll find that there's some really interesting things that she's done to keep both of these things alive in her world and experience enjoyment through employment. Before we get started, I want to remind you that we continue these conversations over in the Empjoyment community. At the end of each episode, I'll go off and give you a joinee, some kind of way for you to take insight and then move that into action. And you can just be a part of the conversation when you get a chance to interact with our past guests and other employees just like you who are actively looking to create the life that they want and to work every day in a place that would bring them great joy. We have discussions, we're building relationships, we are finding out the insider's truth of working in tech and quite frankly just accelerated our path to getting there. So we'd love for you to be a part of the conversation. We're having fun and we'd love for you to be there. And we know that just by your presence and your participation in the group, we all stand to benefit and you stand to get so much as well. So just come over and join us over in the Empjoyment community over at empjoyees.com. I figured this is the home for all Empjoyees. Let's just make it simple. Go to empjoyees.com or just type in the word community to 33444 and you'll get the next steps on how you can be a part of the Empjoyment community and continue this conversation. All right. So with that there, why don't we just jump into that combo? Here's Marin Eng on the Empjoyment Podcast. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Empjoyment Podcast, where we're focused on helping people just like you find enjoyment through employment. Today, we are joined by none other than Marin Eng, who is a customer education manager at Optimizely. Marin, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, indeed. You know, and I'm excited to explore your journey and how you've been able to find employment through that journey. But before we do, I'd like to get to know you a lot better. Would you mind telling us a little bit about your life, love, work, and passion?
Sure. So I was born in Norway. I'm actually not a citizen of the U.S., but I do have a green card. I moved here when I was about 9 years old and did most of my school in the U.S. I did get to travel a lot and move around to other parts of the world. Like I lived in Singapore briefly through my dad's work. And I just developed a love of travel really early on, which kind of led me into my career. But before we get into that, I live in a tiny house. I travel every weekend as much as I can. So my passion really is just exploring the world.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I'm getting excited here because I'm like, wow, it looks like you've really done a lot to incorporate your passion into your life here and put yourself in a position so that your passion can continue to live. You know, as someone that's living in Singapore right now, like we got a chance to share a little bit of some tips out there. But, you know, as we go on here, I think it'd be really great to explore how you've been able to keep travel alive in your career as you've gone along.
Absolutely. Cool.
Cool. So, I mean, it'd be great really quickly to get an understanding as to like what you do. I mentioned you're the customer education manager at Optimizely, but you know that's just a title, that's just a role. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about like what specifically you end up you do, and then we can use that to kind of help frame the rest of the conversation.
Sure. So as a customer education manager, I work on our customer-facing team. So what we do is develop content, learning programs, in-application guides for our platform. And we work with customers in order to not only start off their onboarding smoothly and set them up for success there, but provide continued learning throughout the course of their journey with Optimizely. And my role in particular, I manage our self-paced training programs. So what that means is that I build online learning modules. So much like if you've ever taken a course through Coursera or lynda.com, similar content where we go through self-paced modules that a customer can take at their convenience. So that's kind of what I do personally.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you know, from my past personal experience, I've spent some time working with some online courses, and I know that a lot of employees out there are likely going to be taking things like Coursera or Udemy, which are also self-based courses there. So, you know, at some point during the conversation, I'd love to dive into kind of how you help keep like retention up and, you know, help what you found for best practices for people who are going through and learning on their own. But before we get there, so that's a little bit of a teaser, employees. Before we get there, why don't we go ahead and hear a little bit about like how you look at the world here. Do you mind sharing with us a success quote or a mantra that you use to keep yourself successful?
Sure. So it's a bit silly, but I've totally stolen Nike's line of just do it. I come from a family that's worked really hard to get to where we are, and I feel like I've constantly just kept working, and I've developed such a skill with efficiency. So I try never to find excuses to not do my job or go after what I want to do, whether it's personally or professionally. So every time I get stuck, I just think, just do it. And once it's done, then you move on.
Ooh, man, this is going to be an incredible episode. I love this here. Can you give us an example recently of how you like maybe decided to just do it in your either in your life or in your work recently?
I mean, in personally speaking, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the housing situation is a bit of a nightmare. And I wanted to stay in the Bay Area and work in the Bay Area. But you had to get a little bit creative to do it. So I've been thinking about buying a tiny house on wheels. Google tiny houses if you're not familiar. But I thought about it and thought about it, and I just did it. I went for it. It's a little bit crazy and very strange. But bought a tiny house and never been happier. But on the professional side, this happens all the time. I mean, there's always challenges, and especially in technology, I'm always learning something new. And you know, there might be roadblocks along the way with a project, or it might seem daunting to have to learn a new product at my own company, and I just have to keep telling myself to just do it. So that's something I try to live by every day.
Thanks for that. And I'm getting ready to, as soon as we get done with this call, go Google so, tiny house myself here. So, with this here, we've talked a little bit about like what you do, and we're seeing how you kind of view the world of just doing it. And I think that's part of what has allowed you to be so successful here. It would be really great is to maybe just get a picture of your journey. Just like, how did things start out for you, Marin? How did you end up in this role here? And you know, if you can just walk us through kind of like where you would consider the beginning of your journey to enjoyment through employment, if you can walk us through that, that would be absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. So I mentioned travel being a huge passion of mine earlier, and I think my like upbringing and how much I lived outside the country and traveled outside the country kind of led me into my career. I started out I studied international affairs and Arabic in college, but after college, rather than doing some more cookie cutter kind of nonprofit or non-government work, I ended up working for a hotel. I started at the front desk and I loved it. So I guess it was a bit risky in the sense that that wasn't what my parents wanted or what I feel like society would want from the degree that I got. But I loved the hotel world. I ended up moving to Connecticut to work for another hotel. And what drew me to that was just the dream of travel and, you know, being able to help people that are on their own vacations or business travel and just making them happy. But as with most things, you know, you always want to go bigger and explore more. So I started wondering, you know, looking at technology that we used at the hotel. And in one particular situation, we had a guest call to ask if they could charge their electric car at our hotel, but we didn't have any electric chargers. So I decided to buy one and build a hotel, and I got in a lot of trouble for that. But it ended up in making the customer experience a lot better, and it ended up getting our hotel in a magazine for being this eco-friendly property. So I just took some risks and some chances and started wondering if there were other opportunities out there where I could use my creativity and still work in travel or at least move into something more fast-paced. So I started looking at companies out in San Francisco in particular, just because there's so many opportunities out here in technology in particular. And to be honest, like applying for jobs is so hard. I mean, you're competing with thousands of really qualified people in some cases for certain jobs. So I went to Twitter and I started looking up the CEOs of different travel technology companies. I reached out to the CEO of Hotel Tonight and asked for a meeting and met up with him in San Francisco a few weeks later, just booked myself a ticket on points out to San Francisco and had several conversations like that with different people that I just engaged with through Twitter or via email by looking up their LinkedIn accounts, and ultimately found a hotel technology company called Revenate. And given that I had no experience in tech or any sort of skills to show for you know what I was trying to get hired for, I started in a training and support role for Revenate, and that was such a great experience. It was probably the quickest way to learn about tech and a business as a whole, is just getting on the front lines and dealing with support. And from there, I just I started networking. I went to I joined a professional group called Young Travel Professionals, and those types of groups exist for most industries. And I got to meet a lot of really cool people in the travel space, and met others through them. And about 2.5 years went by working at Revenate and kind of experiencing San Francisco tech culture. And I had an opportunity come up at my current company at Optimizely that I just couldn't pass up. And I did apply directly to that role, actually. And I was just able to move over there about 9 months ago. So that's kind of my journey in a short story.
It's so great hearing this here. And I'm listening to all this, and it's what's coming in here is just this idea of just do it and how that's been working for you all throughout here. You're like, you know what? You need an electric charger. We're going to buy it for you. I'm just going to do it. And, yeah. And you know, there was a part of that story there that really got me where, you know, there were some repercussions, at least in the short term, in terms of, it wasn't the quote unquote safe choice to do. Right. And that thing, but what you ended up doing was choosing the customer experience over any other kind of like short term negative output, and it looks like in this case it ended up working out positively for the hotel overall in terms of like some positive public press and such from there. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So you know, there are risks you should be willing to take and ones you shouldn't. But sometimes it's better to just ask for forgiveness and not permission.
You know, can I ask you about this? Because I feel that this is going to be a recurring theme here. And I would love to make sure that we give employees a chance to explore this here. So for people who aren't very like, let me rephrase that. For people who are more risk averse, or maybe are a little bit more hesitant to go ahead and just do it, do you have like any, I won't say any insight because I think it's kind of harder to come from that position, but are there things in your life that help you develop this muscle of like, you know, acting rather than like overanalyzing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes too. Don't get me wrong, but I try to talk to other people and see what they would do. I did have a mentor in the hotel space that I reached out to them and I was like, I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do. And kind of got some feedback from them and had to make a decision off of that. But I am constantly trying to see like, am I right? Should I do this? Are there other opportunities? So definitely like surrounding yourself with a person or a group of people that are like-minded or maybe slightly different that would have different ideas from you, and just being able to run ideas by them. I think that's been really helpful for me personally.
Awesome. So that's really great. I myself spend some time with either mastermind or people that I call up on like a weekly basis just to be able to really, like you said, be able to toss out different ideas and almost get alignment as I'm running through my journey. Yeah. Like I'm running, but if you can help make sure that I'm not operating with blinders, that'd be really helpful. And so this is really great. It seems that you've taken the time to, throughout your career, really like network and explore. And that's all kind of allowed you to continue to move forward in your path. I guess along the lines of this incident with the electric charger here, I'd like to explore some of the things that like maybe haven't gone necessarily right in your career, and how you went around kind of flipping that and turning that into success. So can you think of a time in your career experience beyond this electric charger moment where, you know, you did something and it just didn't work out, or like the project was like on near failure, and what you did to overcome that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is how, you know, I've got a million roadblocks along the way, you know, just starting with like basics. Like I used to be super introverted and I had to get over it to do my job at Revenate to be a trainer. And, you know, that was a personal roadblock. But in terms of something that was a very like aggressive business goal was, I had to implement a learning management tool for my old company, and I was the only person on my team. I was essentially a team of one, and I didn't have any sort of resources to help me implement a tool or an entire platform like this. And for anyone who doesn't know, a learning management system is essentially what a Coursera or a Udemy is. It's the platform that all the courses are held on. And implementing that is quite a task, and it's not, and it's very time consuming. But when I was told to purchase and implement one, I was very nervous and anxious about meeting a deadline that I didn't think I could meet. But along the lines of my just do it, I didn't give up. I tried to engage as many people in the company that I could that would have some sort of knowledge in how to implement a software like this and integrate it with other systems that we were using. And even just down to getting content in, I was essentially bribing people with coffee or cupcakes to try and get them to help me. And what I learned from that experience is just not to give up. And it doesn't matter what you don't know, you're going to learn it anyway. So if you put your mind to something, the way I see it is you're going to learn something along the way. You're going to be able to do it. You just have to set the right expectations for yourself, as well as set a right the right plan to get something done.
Awesome. Can we explore this a little bit further here? Because there's some really like great things in here. One of the things you mentioned is that you were super introverted and you had to get over it. And I think that's, I'm an extroverted person, but I had the pleasure of working with someone who was introverted, who was just absolutely spectacular and very social at the same time. But you know, it, in particular, that really strikes me as a statement, because I feel, to be just to be blunt, a lot of us live in an extroverted world, you know.
Yeah.
And there's some things that, that come easier to me, given that standpoint, than to others. So I think it would be really, really quite interesting and useful to explore that portion there of, like, okay, if you do feel like you are an introverted person, and for me, the way that I look at introversion is, like, not necessarily shy or social, but where do you get your energy from? Like, you know, if you needed to recharge after a long day, do you spend it with other people, or do you, like, kind of go, like, go by yourself and recharge your batteries that way? I'd be curious how you, using the same example here of this LMS experience, how did you, you like make these coffee chats and all these other things you were doing, given that you were introverted from a-
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, no one would believe, if you talk to anyone I know, they wouldn't even believe that I used to be so introverted. I was so afraid to like ask for help or to reach out or like be very social, frankly. But I had to overcome those things pretty early on, like working for a hotel and then doing trainings for my old company for customers. And I feel like it just, for me personally, just came from like gaining a confidence to be able to like to do what I had to do during the day and then go home and kind of re-energized by myself. But in terms of like reaching out to people and getting the resources I needed, it was really just about reaching out to people in the way that I knew that they would want to communicate. So it wasn't like, you know, necessarily like walking up to the software engineer and being like, hey, I need your help right now. It was more about like setting up a meeting and providing them with like an agenda of what I wanted to talk about, and then ultimately bribing them for me to buy them coffee. So it's just kind of overcoming like mental barriers where I didn't feel comfortable necessarily in the beginning reaching out to people and kind of communicating with them. But ultimately, it was just about getting the right confidence and knowing that at the end of the day, I could go home and relax.
Wow. It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. And like, to tell you the truth, like, I haven't necessarily experienced it to the same degree. I believe it or not, as extroverted as I am, I do like my alone time, but it does really, it really makes sense to me, where what I'm hearing from you is like, okay, like there were, you were able to put it on like kind of a time and a place and made sure that you did get what you needed to in terms of your own personal space, at least at some point at the end of the day, that was a little bit more reserved for you.
Yeah.
That's, and there was something here that you said that, makes me think about how effective you were with reaching out to people on Twitter and, you know, lining up some of those earlier meetings you had discussed, which was that, you know, it really seems like you, when you're making connections, when you're building relationships with people, you're like really going out of your way to meet them where they are. And I was hearing like you're setting up meetings with people. You're not just running over to engineers and tapping them on the shoulder. And can I ask like, why is that? Why would that not be a preferred approach for someone maybe who hasn't worked with an engineer or been seen that setting before?
Yeah, you know, I just think about like the types of personalities that I knew anyway. Like, I didn't know most of the people. I'd say on that side of the room, but on the product side. But just from like my experience, you know, interacting with them in the hallways or at the office, they're busy people. A lot of people are busy. You don't have to be an engineer to be doing work 24/7. But it was more just about like understanding or getting the vibe from how they interacted with each other. And I now am a very social person. People can come up to me and I would never be bothered by that at my desk. But I just, you know, think about where people are in their life or in their job and try to like be respectful of their space. And I know like even just asking the smallest favor of people, you could be one of 500 favors they're getting that day. Overall, I tend to try to take more of a standing back approach to asking people for resources or for help. I also try to go out of my way when I'm asking for something like a meeting or resources. I try to like you said, go to them and like be in their environment that I know they're comfortable in. Whether that's, you know, professionally, like at work, trying to get help implementing a software, or with the CEO of Hotel Tonight, I would never ask him to come to me. I want to make it so little effort for them that, and make that clear to them.
Absolutely. Well, this is spectacular. And, Maren, I do just want to just, pause real quick just to give you kudos for just being a very authentic, building, like going out. And I don't really like the word networking, because I think a lot of people do it wrong. And what you're doing right here is like you're building meaningful relationships with people on a consistent basis. And I just wanted to recognize that for what it is, which is just awesome. And it's one of those things where I also recognize that it took a lot of work, and it takes a lot of work, and you continue to put in that work. It's not, from what you're saying, this is not, you didn't just naturally start this way, but you kept just doing it, and you overall built a muscle that now makes you pretty exceptional in terms of being able to make connections there. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to call it out as I see it, or as I'm hearing it. Like that, that's pretty phenomenal. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, like let's keep on this trend of kudos here, and take things and look at something that you're really proud of around the work that you've done, or about your journey to find enjoyment through employment. Would you mind taking us to a specific moment? Just like, we want to almost like just be a fly on the wall watching this as it's unfolding. Can you tell us about one of your proudest moments that you've had along your journey?
Sure. Yeah. I've definitely had a lot of things that have given me faith along the way, but, at my last company, shortly before I left, like I mentioned, I was kind of on a team by myself, and, for about the 7 years that the company had been in existence, you know, as a software company, you want your support site to be this beacon of hope for customers looking for answers. And it should really reflect the brand and the software as it is. And it shouldn't be an afterthought, in my opinion. And for 7 years, I don't think much had changed there, in terms of the experience for the user and in terms of the content that was available in the support center. I mean, if you think about your best experience looking for answers online, I bet you could probably picture one. And that's what I wanted my company to be for our customers. So I decided it was time to rebuild that knowledge center, and that's no small task in itself. It's, you know, buying new software and moving all of that content over and updating all that content, and for, you know, software companies in particular, things move really fast. I mean, new products come out, new features come out, features get taken away. So I rebuilt the knowledge base, and it took about 6 months of full-on effort. But we were able to update all the content, remake all the videos, and really provide an experience that was ideal, or at least better for the customer, and provide the content that they were asking for and support. So that did a lot for me in terms of helping me find, you know, a new role, which of course helped my resume a lot. But it also just gave me the experience of building something from the ground up that was recognized by the entire company and by customers. And it still exists today. So that's pretty cool too.
Whoa. Congratulations on that there. it's so much fun there. It's funny. So you said, like, you know, a software company, things move fast. There's a lot of moving parts that are taken in there, that are happening at the same time, but this still project still took you 6 months, or am I right in saying 2 quarters regard? Right. So I'm sure you just, you know, a lot of time in the tech world, we'll talk about things in terms of quarters, and you know, you might be used to setting annual goals. There might be chunked down into every 3 months or every quarter what you're looking to get done. So, you know, looking at this as a 2-quarter project here, do you mind me asking, because this is clearly a success and it's still standing up there, but it involved a lot of moving parts. Like, how did you go about like project managing this, or let's start with that question.
Yeah, sure.
How did you go about project managing this as a success?
Yeah. So for me, I love tools that work. So I started with a Jira project, and Jira is is essentially a project management tool that many tech companies use. And what I did was I listed out the main objectives of the project, and I broke it out into essentially chunks of work that could be completed sequentially. So I started with like phase one, and then I had phase two, and then I had phase three at the end there. So I brought in early on, as I've learned in the past, I brought in anyone I thought might be needed in the project. I brought them in for them to understand the project plan and understand their role in that project, even if it was just providing something really basic or something that was really simple 6 months out. So getting the right people involved early was really important. And I think that applies to most things in my professional life that I've learned. So starting with that was important. And then I try to list out every single possible outcome, whether it's good or bad. And I try to, at the time I wrote out, it was probably 300, little bullet points, but it was every step that had to get done in order to complete the project. So just being able to go off and check a list as I completed things was useful for me, but it was also good for visibility in the organization. So being able to show what I was doing and what phase the project was at was really helpful for management to see, so that they didn't think I was just wasting my time.
Okay. Well, this is like, I'm hearing this here, and like personally, I'm also trying to get better with project management on my own. Yeah. I spent a lot of time on like leadership, but like there's that part of being able to take your vision and turning it into reality. You
know? Yeah.
And like really, like, that's really what I heard. And I found it's really cool how you were able to bring everyone in around that vision. I took out a note here around, even if someone was coming in and step number 297, you brought them into the room from the very beginning to get them on board and to almost help them build their buy-in from the very beginning of the project versus, hey, we're almost done. Can you do this one thing? And they're like, wait,
absolutely. Hold on. And I've been in the place where I brought someone in too late and they just refused to like see the vision basically. And a project was shut down for a long time because I hadn't thought in advance. And sometimes it's inevitable, but I feel like the earlier people know and understand and agree to it, the better it is in the long run.
Awesome. Yeah, that was definitely one of the biggest changes I experienced when moving into tech from a world where things felt a little bit more kind of directed downward versus being able to come up with your own projects. But with that there, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Awesome. So why don't, if we can, I'd love to spend a little bit of time just understanding like what's happening for you currently right now. And then we had talked a little bit earlier about self-paced learning. We can maybe spend a little bit of time diving into some suggestions you have for people to be successful with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're asking in terms of like current trends or things that are available in tech. I definitely feel like personalization is this really trendy topic right now. In any sort of tech, like whether it's hotel tech or, more of an experimentation platform, personalizing services is so essential for a business to succeed. And I think that even just goes for like, applying to jobs, like making, if you think at the most basic level, like if you apply to a job and it's not, and it doesn't seem genuine or personal or directed at you, as an employer, then you're not really going to get anywhere because they don't feel connected to you. It goes all the way up to, the biggest businesses in the world. If I go to a website right now and it's like, hey, San Francisco, check out these fall jackets because August is cold. I would be like, yeah, totally. Like that makes so much sense to me and I connect to it. And I think that, makes sense for so many businesses. And it's definitely one of the trends that, right now is huge for my my business, and the things that we work on. In, you know, in my role specifically, even it comes down to me understanding who is our customer and who should be taking this training and who, should I be targeting this content to. So that's definitely like the number one trend. And you were asking about the self-paced learning, which kind of goes into that. But did you have any questions specifically around the self-paced portion?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. But why don't we wrap up the current trend part real quick, and then we can dive into that. So generally speaking, you're saying personalization, and I really appreciate you breaking that down a little bit further into things like being genuine, being personable, and having it apply to the individual or making it feel like it applies to an individual as opposed to the masses. Which I think is spectacular. And just knowing what I know a little about Optimizely, I feel like that's where your entire organization is built around. And then you're able to take that a step further into your customer education by not just having a kind of like a one size fits all solution, but really trying to meet customers or people who need to get more information about your product where they are, once again, and making sure that it's more or less personalized and tailored to the experiences and information that they need. Am I capturing that properly?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That is truly exciting. So thank you for sharing that. And I think employees think about that when you're looking out there and you're doing research on tech. It might be great to look further into how are different organizations applying personalization, and how have you applied personalization in your past experiences such that it might lend itself over to a career in technology going forward. So with that there, Maren, if we may, I have like basically two or three questions on the self-paced learning portion. And this is really from the standpoint of using your expertise in crafting it, but kind of looking at it from someone that's actually taken the learning. So one of your customers and such. There's a fairly high dropout rate when it comes to taking these kind of self-paced learning. So what suggestions do you have for anyone that is working on their own that may not need to take the course, but really wants to do it in terms of building up their skills? Has there been anything that you found to work really useful, be useful for them?
It's so hard. The, you know, course completions, like the drop-off rate, and even, you know, just enrollment rates. It's so hard to especially like be motivated to do something if someone tells you to do it. I mean, for me personally in my role, I'm training people whose boss told them to go learn this new tool. So for me, it's about how do I capture their attention to start, and how do I keep their attention going through the course. And for our customers, you know, a lot of this comes down to storytelling. So starting out with a story that'll grab your attention, and kind of reiterating on that story as you go through the course. Personally, I prefer online learning courses to be like under 25 minutes, 30 minutes tops. So And I think you can learn a lot in that time. It just has to be really targeted learning. So for those of you who are doing like some online learning courses, whether it's for technical topics or for, you know, customer service type of things, whatever it is, it should be engaging and it should be fairly targeted. So what is a skill that you want to learn, or what is a tool that you want to learn how to use? So rather than doing something that's, you know, 4 hours long and tells you it's going to teach you how to be the best, you know, customer service representative ever, that's probably not going to be ideal. And remembering all of the, you know, different topics they talk about over such a long period is probably not going to happen. So looking just for shorter courses that tend to be skill-based or whatever that topic is that you're looking for, is easier to manage. I've taken probably close to 100 online courses, and a lot of them are just a lot of information. So I've found that if I try to filter for shorter courses, I tend to get a lot more out of it. And in terms of engagement, I just always try to separate myself from my job and my personal life when I'm trying to learn something new. I'm definitely I've definitely caught myself like texting or, you know, replying to an email while I'm trying to take a class or learn something online. And I never remember what it was I was trying to learn. So I try very hard to separate myself, put myself in a different place, lock the door, turn off my phone to try and keep my engagement up.
Awesome. So you're creating these environments where basically you're giving yourself the best chance to succeed, but you're also being very specific with what you're trying to learn, and finding courses that are more skill-based and it's not even bite-sized. 25 minutes is a long period of time. But it's teaching you one specific skill or helping you go in depth on one thing versus a broad overview or what they're promising to be a full-fledged start to finish.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that a lot there. And can I ask you, this is something that I was thinking about for employees out here. I'd be kind of curious as to how you found online learning versus like project work, and more or less with the idea being come into online learning with an objective that you want to have to accomplish in terms of applications, and then using the online learning to supplement, as opposed to, let's say, starting out and learning the as much as you can from the very beginning, and then going out and trying to apply it based on all the wealth of knowledge that you've taken in.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, for specifically for like the product that I'm currently working on, we do offer a certification at the end of the training, and there's no way that you can pass that certification if you don't apply your knowledge in the platform. And I think that could go with a lot of different things. Like even just, you know, if you're going to go take a class on how to use PowerPoint effectively, if you don't actually use PowerPoint before, during, or after the training, you're probably not going to be able to apply those skills the same way. So I prefer to learn by like watching a little intro video and then logging in and doing it in whatever that platform is, or at least using that skill. So let's say it was even something like, you know, how to get someone's attention. So I'll watch the video and then I'll try it out on somebody just to get all of the skills or the things that they're trying to teach me. I'm trying to basically memorize them and make that a muscle memory. So that's why bite-sized chunks are really good. For most people, not everyone, of course, but I think being able to step back intermittently and apply the skills is a really important way to make sure you get the most out of online learning specifically, and applying those skills, whatever that might be, throughout your learning.
Oh, thank you so much there, Marin. And, you know, we've come to our time here, but I want to make sure that I just basically leave an opportunity for you to ask any questions of me, if you have any, or any questions that you want to know from the Joy community. And then maybe I'll wrap up with one other question. We can end it from there.
You know, I don't have any questions for the listeners specifically, but I do encourage you to take chances in tech and to just apply, I mean, or have conversations. So find people that inspire you, and try to ask them for coffee or chat online, or, you know, virtual conversation. There's just a lot you can learn from people in the space without ever having to have it be a job interview necessarily. So just thinking about what you want to learn and who might know those things is a good step forward into jumping into the tech world.
Thank you so much for that, Marin. Well, Marin, I do appreciate you taking the time here today to just tell us about your journey, walk us through your role, and also just, I don't know, I'm inspired. I'm inspired to travel myself now. I don't have a tiny house, but for those of you that go out and Google, I think that this is going to be a meaningful conversation on multiple fronts. So with that, Marin, just want to say thank you once again for taking the time to join us here on the Enjoyment Podcast. We're looking forward to your ongoing success, and really just appreciate everything that you had to offer today.
Thank you so much.
Whoosh. Did Marin deliver or what? I mean, there were so many actionable takeaways in there. And I really feel that just understanding her process of being able to drive that LMS project across her organization, I feel like that just really gave me a chance to see, like, what does it actually take to get things done in tech? And how do you do it? How do you do it successfully? And I'm so happy that she ended up sharing that story with all of us here so we can walk away with something tangible. I want to make sure that we do get something tangible out of this, and that's by taking this conversation and moving it into something that applies to us. How does this apply to you here? You just heard this here. Marin has shared so much insight. So what are you going to do with it? I invite you to come over to the Employment Community, where today we're going to have a journey that's just set out just for you and this episode. So Marin shared a number of best practices to help you not only select your next online learning experience, but also make the most of it so you can apply it in your life and see tangible results and growth. So what we'd like for you to do is to come over to the Employment Community and share with us the best online learning experience. It could be a course, a group, a coaching, whatever it is for you that you've taken, and what made that experience so impactful to you. I think that's super important because now we're going to be able to get in there, see what some of the best resources are out there, and also what are some of the things that people are doing in order to get more from it. And to be honest, to make the most of their money and their time. Whenever you listen to this conversation, just go on there and use the hashtag joining13 so that we can continue to track and build upon the conversation regardless of when you listen to this episode. So I'll see you over in the Employment Community. Just go to empjoyees.com. That's empjoyees.com and come be a part of this. So with that, Empjoyees, I will see you again quite shortly. Until then, here is to experience and joy each and every day. Take care, y'all.